station.
Stand by for an urgent bulletin.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
Who's better at this job of radio?
You shut your mouth when you're talking to me.
Jeff Lutz.
Really good to great, you know, depending on the day.
Wow! Hey! Isn't that exciting?
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
It's showtime, baby! You'll go wacko, bananas, nuts, crazy, unbelievable!
Hello again, everybody. It's a Wednesday edition, the Bob and Jeff Show, KFH Radio. Happy to have you along. Bob Lutz, Jeff Lutz co-hosting. Max Bauer is our producer and engineer. 869-1240 is the phone number. What's up today?
Not a lot.
You got a win last night.
Sure
Royals
did.
Royals got a loss.
Twins lost. Royals lost.
Good night for you. That's how you judge this stuff. If you're
one day at a time.
If you're disciplined enough to do it, that's the only way to get through baseball. I'm not, never have been, won't pretend to be.
What do you mean? What's
the
only way?
I'm as down as I can possibly be about being down to the Pirates today. And Martin Perez, who has a 6-plus ERA against everybody else and an ERA of nothing against the Cardinals in two starts.
He's had some success over his career. But, yeah, I understand that you would feel upset. But didn't you already take the first two of the series?
No, we'll lose two of three.
You lost
that's
the first
correct.
One. Yeah, you lost to Keller. That's right. Well, I'm sorry.
And you beat Skeens and you lose to Perez.
Did you? I get that you say, I don't have any real problem with you saying you beat Skeens.
We beat Skeens.
I don't have any problem with it, but let's examine it a little further. Who pitched for the Cardinals?
Lance Lynn.
Didn't Lance Lynn beat Skeens? Nolan Arenado, I guess, in a way, beat Skeens, hit a home run off of him.
Well, we beat him 2-1. He was outstanding, but we beat him. That's his first loss as a big league pitcher. And I'm confident saying we beat him. And today, Martin Perez, who's nothing compared to Paul Skeens.
He's beating you down.
It's just
and
the game will drive you insane.
Three runs in the series, is that right?
I don't need to talk about it right now.
Well, it's tough.
This is what happened the last time they went to Pittsburgh. All three games were low scoring. The Pirates, say what you want, they're coming. If they get any kind of offense to go with this pitching, they're going to be a real problem.
Yeah, they've tried to build some offense with young players, Sawinski and Cruz, and they drafted Henry Davis, and he hasn't been much, and their other catcher, Rodriguez, has been hurt.
They got a good second baseman. What's that kid's name? Rodriguez?
Is it?
Yeah, I believe so. They got O'Neill Cruz. They've got Brian Reynolds. Rowdy Tellez is a good stopgap measure. He just kills the Cardinals. Ke'Bryan Hayes is not developed as I thought he would. He's regressed.
Still good defensively, but...
Still good defensively, but that doesn't mean a whole lot.
Doesn't hit.
So they lack offense... But
Nick Gonzalez,
they've got
their second baseman
throughout their team. You get into their bullpen, it's a nightmare. They're going to be really good.
Yeah, they like you said, they're coming. They're on the cusp. If they can figure it out organizationally and get some offense.
And I can't say that the Cardinals are coming. I'm not sure they're not going.
They're coming or going.
What are they doing? Are they just,
Kind of stagnated a little bit.
What's happened?
They don't have a real direction. It doesn't look like.
They went out and tried to fix their pitching, and to some degree it's been successful. Today they had to go with a bullpen game. They just don't have any pitching depth in their organization. I understand they're trying to fix that. They've got some intriguing guys in the minor leagues. But none of them are ready to.
Well, your best players are your young players. So it's time after this season to get Jordan Walker and just let him play. And
well, I'm not even sure he's going to be a Cardinal after next.
Well, whatever. Put him in the lineup if he's with your organization.
I agree, and leave him alone. Don't say a word to him. Let Walker, Wynn, Burleson,
Donovan,
and Contreras.
And / Herrera.
He won't be a Cardinal next week either.
Next week?
They'll trade him.
You think they'll trade him this week?
Yes, I think they'll trade him because he has value. as an offensive hitter. Well, he's not a great catcher, but he can hit.
Well, make him the first baseman then. Let him be Goldschmidt's replacement.
Be into that role. I'm telling you, I see the future when it comes to this.
Well, that
stuff.
They need to commit to it. That's the direction the Cardinals need to take. And if it's a hiccup for a year or two, it won't be any worse necessarily
Don't try to tell us what to do,
please. The hiccups of the last 2 years.
Don't try to tell us what to do.
But you know that's what is best for the organization.
Well, I wouldn't mind. I wouldn't mind getting rid of Newt Barr. You want Newt Barr?
Not really.
What do you give us for him?
I need somebody better. Isn't he a left-handed hitter?
Yeah, what do you want?
We have plenty of those. We need Brent Rooker. That's what we want.
Well, every team in the world wants Brent Rooker from the A's.
That's true.
And we'll see where he ends up. I don't know where he's going to end up. Kansas City was thrown out there by David Schoenfeld on ESPN today.
I wouldn't do that if I were
Oakland. Which would not shock me.
Well, I wouldn't do that if I were Oakland because Kansas City already had him and let him go.
Well, what do they care?
I know, but just the principle of it.
No, it just bothers you because Kansas City.
No, it's just the principle of it.
Here's what bothers you.
What?
The Royals have gone out and made things happen. And I don't care what you say. That has gone on. Of all the teams in Major League Baseball, they're supposedly a low-budget team, but their owner, who used to be in Cleveland, that bothers you.
We got a good guy.
Has now stepped up and has shown that he's out to win, and the Royals will make a splashy move at the deadline.
All right.
It may be Pham, it may be Rooker, but it'll be somebody.
They don't have the pieces to get Rooker, in my opinion. They can be outbid by other teams.
Well, we'll see.
A lot of other teams.
We'll see.
Not saying they won't make a move, but they'll have to get creative like they did in trading for Hunter Harvey, trading some of their draft bonus pool money. Maybe you do that again for next year's draft if you can.
How do you approach someone like Paul Goldschmidt, who's been... He's a borderline Hall of Famer, but he's gone in the tank. He's done. He looks old. He can't hit velocity anymore. There's really not much he can hit. His contract's over. You just say goodbye, Paul. Thank you for the years.
There's
right?
No way, you don't. There's no way you need to bring him back.
They're not bringing him back.
There's no place.
I do think they will bring. And he's under contract, so this isn't breaking news, but Nolan Arenado will be back.
Untradeable.
You can't trade him, and you hope that he somehow figures it out. He's not been horrible, but he's not the Arenado that he was his first two or three, 4 years with the Cardinals.
No, and he is a Hall of Famer, I would say. I think Goldschmidt will get in, too.
I wish
you'd
start playing like one.
Well, he has. That's why he's going to be one. Everybody declines.
I wish you'd start playing again. He's only 33.
Well, everybody declines. Used to be 30.
You know when I started declining?
26.
Never. Ask anybody.
I've asked a lot of people.
I haven't declined yet.
Not yet. Still going? Still upward mobility for you?
I think so. Here's what we're going to do on the show today. At 2:45, Mike Furches will join us. We'll talk about a lot of things with Mike. He made a nice post on Facebook, and I appreciate that. 2:25, I just got confirmation, Zach Bush. We'll kind of recap the aftershocks, where they go from here, and we'll talk with Zach Bush coming up at 2:25. And at 3:25, Jim Callis from MLBPipeline.com. You know, I follow him on Twitter, obviously, because I'm completely in on everything he does.
Right.
When it comes to prospects and draft and rankings. I've always envied him a little bit. He's had a job that I would have loved. In fact, I'm getting kind of angry with him thinking about it.
Well,
he's had a job that I would have absolutely loved.
Why didn't you go for it?
I don't know. I love my other job.
Well, then there's nothing wrong with
it. He's been immersed in baseball throughout his career. First at Baseball America, then he's hooked on here with MLB. And just a guy I've really liked for a long time.
Does a great job.
He does a great
trusted
job.
Trusted voice in the industry.
Yes.
He's one of the immediate guys you go to.
That's correct. And Jonathan Mayo is kind of the same way. They form a formidable tandem.
Yeah, and then Jeff Passan would be another. And
yeah, but I'm talking these guys, Callis and Mayo, work together.
I get you.
Passan's on beyond. He's not doing prospect.
I understand. I'm just saying your trusted voices when you're scrolling and refreshing on July 30th, waiting to see who's reporting on the trade deadline, Jeff Passan will be the guy you look
to. We've had Jeff Passan on this show.
I'm aware.
We've had Rustin Dodd on this show.
Yesterday.
Another national baseball writer. Jim Callis has been on this show. Ryan Fagan, when he was with the Sporting News, was a frequent guest on the show to talk baseball. My next conquer, the next one I'm going for is John Morosi.
Really?
Yeah. He follows me on Twitter. I'm able to message him, and we will have John Morosi on this show at some point.
Sounds good. I'll be ready.
And I will tell him my honest opinion. I love his work on MLB.com. It's one of the highlights, not MLB.com, the MLB Network.
Right.
I love his insight and his inside information.
Yeah, it's all great.
What if I can pull that off?
Well, get it done.
But I ask you, what if I can pull it off?
I mean, moderately impressed.
Impress you?
I guess a little. If you're just going to send him a Twitter message and hope that he responds, then I don't know.
Well, we'll see. Wouldn't you say that John Morosi is the number one baseball insider today?
No, I think it's Jeff Passan, but.
Well, no, Jeff Passan's in it. But I'm talking about,
I don't know.
Jeff Passan's certainly right there. But but it would be Heyman.
A little.
Of course.
Ken Rosenthal.
Ken Rosenthal, still very good.
Stark to a lesser degree. He's not a newsbreaker guy.
Yeah, he's more of a
columnist.
Finding the feature stuff.
Yeah.
The tidbits, that kind
of stuff. And he's still very valuable doing that because it's interesting.
But if we're a show that can say we've had Jeff Passan, Rustin Dodd, John Morosi.
Well, we've had lots of other sports insiders. We've had Howard Beck. We've had Jeff Goodman.
I'd like to get Howard back sometime. Howard Beck back. Try saying that 10 times.
We had the war. Hey. Howard Beck back.
No, 10 times.
Howard Beck back, 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 Howard Beck back. I think that's about 10.
Say this. Howard Beck back. I can't think of the third word.
It's unfortunate.
If we could get Howard Beck back briefly.
That's
Howard Beck back briefly.
Yeah, that's easy.
Yeah, that wasn't good.
That changes the whole shape of the mouth.
But anyway, I like talking baseball.
Me too.
You know, the NBC
Usually.
World Series kicks off tomorrow at X Stadium. And they're doing baseball around the clock on Saturday. Is there any chance you would do that?
I don't want to say no and sound like a jerk, but it seems unlikely. I've been invited to maybe go see Shannon Great's band on Saturday evening, and I might.
Why am I not invited to any of this? What happened
with
Shannon?
They're out at Stearman Field.
What happened with me and Shannon?
Shannon and I are a little closer.
What happened, though?
I don't know.
Am I seen as unattainable like that? I'd love to have Bob, but he's probably.
I don't think so. I think I'm.
He's probably.
I might be more accessible, but I think that's also.
Well, don't people normally say, I'd love to get the president, but I'll go ahead and get the congressman. Isn't that kind of how that would work?
No, I think if you wanted to be accessible, you would. There's no presidential aura around you that I know of. But yeah, I threw it out there to Shannon.
He's, you threw it out there.
No, he.
That
I, no,
makes sense.
I didn't throw that out there. He invited me unsolicited, but I threw out there that if he worked up the live version of one of these nights that I would come out and play drums. But I told him
the band doesn't do songs like that.
He said he'll talk to the fellas, and I said you have to pay me $10 so I can say I'm a professional drummer. I should have said $25.
That would not entice anyone to go hear them.
Why?
They would not say, hey, guess what? We got Jeff Lutz who's going to play drums on...
I don't think they'd announce it or broadcast it, but it would just be something fun, and I would do a good job.
Well, I'm still bothered that Shannon, who, frankly, you needed time to warm up to. I tried to tell you he was a good guy for years. And you were always like, yeah, but come on. I mean,
well, you tried to kick him off the air yesterday, basically.
How so?
Okay, Shannon. Thanks, Shannon. All right, Shannon. We'll see you, Shannon.
Well, all he wanted to do was talk to you. I get tired of that.
Yeah, well, now you know how
it feels. If you two guys are now the it couple in town.
I wouldn't say that.
Whatever. Who's my person?
Who do you want?
Who's going to invite me?
I think I'm fun to hang out with.
I'll throw this challenge out there. A lot of people have my number. If you want to invite me to something, give me a text right now.
Absolutely.
Or call 869-1240.
Well, that's never happened, but we can always give it a shot. Where's Jim 35?
I don't know where Jim is. I hope he's okay. I can tell you that right now.
We need to check in. We need him to check in with us at least once a month, if not every other week.
Well, it used to be every day.
Yeah, well, that's not necessary, but every other week would be fine.
If he's got something to say.
No, or not. Just check in. Make sure everything's going okay.
I don't know. He can call whenever he wants.
Did he call the old show that you know of?
No. I never heard from Jim
So he must be a fan of mine.
That could be. You've got a lot of them, apparently.
Well, two, at least.
People that I would have never thought would be in your camp.
Oh, here
I am. No text, no call.
You've not been invited to anything.
No, I haven't been invited to anything. I don't know. I did hear from a friend yesterday inviting me to lunch, which I'm happy about.
Lunch is good. Are you going to take that person up?
We're going Tuesday.
Is that Denise?
No. I got a lot of friends.
Who are you going with?
Nah, you don't need to know.
I don't need to know, but I am.
I don't want to tell you. How's that?
Curious. It's not going to change my life. To know or not know, but I'm curious.
I did go meet this morning with Mark Bennett, the district attorney for Sedgwick County, talking about the statue theft and the plea agreement with Ricky Alderetti and the sentencing coming up a week from Friday, and just talking to Mark about all of that and the situation. It was, you know, we got off track a little bit. He was extremely cordial, and talked to me for at least 30 minutes. Didn't act rushed. We had a great conversation about a lot of different things as they pertain to his job as district attorney. I'm fascinated by the criminal justice system, and I really got a little bit of an education. In the time
we spent together,
it was a very good opportunity. And I'm sitting there thinking, as all this is happening, man, this guy didn't have to do this. But I appreciate his willingness to explain things, to talk about things, to tell me things. You know, he's amongst those who have told me, and I've talked with many in law enforcement since League 42 started. About crime and criminals and what motivates them. And he's the latest to tell me that if we could eliminate fentanyl and methamphetamines from our culture, the crime rate would drop by 50% or more.
Okay.
Isn't that something?
It's not that I'm not skeptical about that, but it seems like it'll just be the next thing. Like it used to be, whatever drug you want to mention, I don't want to demonize
anybody.
You can
say it'll be the next thing, but he's saying that as it currently stands, if we could eliminate those two drugs and not have replacements. I mean, I don't know, that we would eliminate crime by 50%. And he said if alcohol was never to be consumed, that number would probably be more like 70 to 75%.
Well, there is definitely something to be said for access to the ability to commit a crime. Yeah, there's something there.
Well, it's interesting to me. This is a guy who lives this every day. It was fascinating to hear him talk about it. All right, we'll take a break. When we return, Zach Bush, the coach of the Aftershocks, they are not playing tonight in the TBT. That is Mass Street and Team Colorado for a chance to move on for the $1 million prize. That's happening at 8 o'clock this evening at Coke Arena. The Aftershocks out earlier than they've ever been out. We'll talk with Zach Bush about what happened, what that team might look like going forward. Stay with us.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show.
Joined on the hotline by Zach Bush, the coach of the Wichita State Aftershocks. We thought we'd be talking to Zach today ahead of the championship, not the championship game, but
regional final
against Mass Street, which is what everybody wanted to have happen. And life doesn't always fall the way we hope. Hello, Zach.
Bob, how are you guys?
We're good. Doing well. So you're coming off a really disappointing loss to Team Colorado, a really hard-fought basketball game a couple nights ago at Coke Arena. What's been the aftershock of that loss?
Yeah, just disappointment, some sadness. It was a really strange feeling. We hadn't lost this early in the tournament since our first year that we played in 2019. And so just an unfamiliar feeling. You know, you get to a stage of the game where, you know, you face a little bit of adversity and you kind of just start to replay all the moments in your head of the times we've been in these situations in this tournament and figured out a way to get it done. So you kind of expect that to happen. And unfortunately, it just didn't go our way this time. But, you know, kind of the aftermath of that was just kind of down. Everybody, it was a weird feeling, you know. You know, this isn't the NBA Finals or the NCAA tournament, and but it still matters and is important to the guys. And so we all just were a little bit kind of shocked by it, that it went the way that it did. And everybody felt like they were leaving town quite a bit earlier than they were supposed to.
So we've talked about the difficulty of putting together a roster, but I'll kind of try to expand on that a little bit. Is it hard to build a team as opposed to getting the guys who are available, trying to figure out a style of play when maybe you don't necessarily have a whole lot of practice time with a whole team? I really like the 2022 team. I think that's where you guys went farthest when you had Shaq and Clevin, and I think Zach Brown might have been on that team, and it was really defensive oriented, and you kind of won that way. Is there anything to be said for building an identity and a team, or is that just kind of impossible to do?
No, I think there's something to be said for it. I think it's a little bit of a balance of both. You certainly don't want to just be throwing, you know, brand new rosters together each year. You want to have some continuity and some guys that know how to play with each other, so you don't have the growing pains while you're playing the games. But at the same time, you've got to go out and find pieces that can score the basketball, and that's kind of the name of the game at the end of this. Like, defense is going to take you, you know, a certain length in this, but at the end of the day, you got to have guys who can put the ball in the hole, and that's what's going to get you over the hump to win. But certainly feel like this year what we were missing was kind of that defensive presence inside, and we knew that going in. We just had a hard time finding a big man, so we were a little bit smaller. That 2022 team had James Dickey that we had brought in, and the fans, you know, really liked him and I think could relate with his style of play. He's high energy, he's tough, can guard multiple positions. So yeah, that team was really good and kind of the identity we want to have, and then add in the last couple offensive pieces. We felt like we did add that with Jeremiah Martin this year. He was the exact type of guard we needed that could go get his own, create for others. It was just we had a hard time this year getting the big man piece. So hopefully next year, you know, we can kind of put it all together.
Talking with Zach Bush, coach of the Aftershocks, former Shocker player from Goddard, now coaching high school basketball up in Omaha. So tell us about the construction of this team. How does that work? Who's involved in it? Who has a voice on making this roster come together? How soon will that process begin for 2025 if it hasn't already?
Yeah, it's always a collective effort, you know, pretty much between myself, J.R. Simon, Garrett Stutz, and then the core group of players that have played in this with us, you know, with Connor, Marks McDuffie, Richard, you know, those three guys have kind of been the mainstays. And then Clevin Hanna's helped out a lot with it, a little bit of Ron Baker here and there. And so it's been a collective effort. It's not just one guy. You know, we may have ideas, Garrett, JR, and myself, but, you know, we don't really know how it feels to the players until we present it to Richard, Connor, and kind of see what they're thinking and what they think the needs are versus what we do. And fortunately, those usually line up well. You know, we see the game all similarly, and I think all are on the same page of what we think we need. And then as far as when it starts, it's hard to say. You know, you got to give TBT a good idea that you want to, especially if you're going to host, that you're going to have a team, first of all. And so I think, fortunately, we've done that pretty consistently, and the guys have wanted to play. So you have a slight idea that you could have, you know, certain 3-4 guys, but then over probably the next, you know, 8-9 months, it starts to progress from there. So we try to let them, you know, have a good break here and get back overseas, start their next season. And you don't want to reach out too early because you don't want to wear them out. A lot of those guys are getting their feet wet in the new spot and they're already missing home. So you want to give them time to acclimate. So usually around January, we kind of start talking about things a little bit more, maybe in December, and then start trying to piece together the rest of the roster.
So how Wichitans are kind of notoriously picky about their sports and entertainment options and maybe not the longest attention span. Do you feel like this year proved you got two games, all the Kansas teams came here and played? Did this year tell you anything about the legs this thing has in Wichita? Do you still feel like it's a pretty hot ticket? Is the momentum still there? How did you gauge all of that this year?
Yeah, it's hard to say, I think, in some ways, because we didn't get to that. We're right there. Didn't get to that game that everybody wanted. And I think that would have been, you know, a really good, you know, measuring stick of is it still there with this thing? You know, you get the matchup finally that everybody wanted with KU, WSU in Coke Arena and, you know, Frank Mason playing. So that would have been really cool. Unfortunately, it seems like every year it's either us or them. Somebody's screwing it up. This year that happened to be us. And so hard to say for sure. You know, obviously we're not, you know, doing 7,000 a game, but we never have in this. It's been typically, it feels like it kind of grows round by round. And a part of that is also the time of the game. So us playing at noon on a Saturday this year didn't help with that. I think the years that we've done really well in attendance, the tournament's typically started on like a Thursday and gone on like a Thursday, day off, Saturday, round two, you know, regional final game, round three on a Monday night. And that's worked really well. And I think kind of kept the excitement. You know, I think it's better when you build into the weekend a little bit. So that would certainly help us out next year. You know, if we are fortunate enough to do it again, I can't say for certain right now it would happen, but I think if the guys want to come back and do it again, we would be able to host it again. But next year would be kind of be able to tell you a little bit more about that. I don't think there's, you know, it's not dying off by any means. It's, you know, maybe a little bit of the novelty of it's worn off a little bit, but I think the fans are always going to want to watch good basketball and good players if we can bring them in. So we've certainly got on our end, try to figure out ways to excite them and keep rejuvenating it. And, you know, we're already talking about ways to do that, whether that's partnering with, you know, the current team and doing a scrimmage of sorts that we sell tickets to where they can see the new players versus us and maybe bring some past guys in that aren't even playing in TBT, but try to get Fred and Ron back or, you know, work something out with NIL. Those ideas are already starting to float around.
Zach Bush with us. I think it's also helpful when the current basketball team at Wichita State is having a high amount of success. So that would certainly be an indicator as well, in my opinion. So we had you on to talk about Connor. We had Connor Frankamp on, and we talked with him. He was going to be more aggressive this year offensively. I think you'd mentioned the same thing. I'm not sure it came to pass, but I will say this. It's obvious that opposing defenses go into games with the aftershocks, trying to keep him at bay and really to try to keep the ball out of his hands. How do you combat that? How does it work that it's even possible to get Connor more involved because these defenses are just smothering him?
Yeah, it's difficult.
At least that's the way I see it.
Yeah, and you're not wrong. I think that's part of the reason why, you know, maybe we look at the box score and think, like, God, he's got to take more shots. He's got to be more aggressive. But that's not always the easiest when, you know, they're picking him up full court or they're denying him in the half court, no catching him, or they top block him anytime we try to bring him off a pin down or anything where he's lower on the floor trying to come higher on the floor. But it has been difficult. It's not like he's just going out there and not shooting the ball. It's just hard to, you know, get him in a position where he, one, has the ball, and two, can score it. So part of it's we, you know, probably got to design things a little better and get creative with how we can get him the ball more. In some ways it's difficult because TBT, you have such a, you know, limited amount of time with the guys before you play. So there's not a lot of ability to put in a ton of sets. You know, anybody, you know, that's played basketball can tell you it takes a little bit of time in playing if you're going to put in stuff, you know, whether that's an offense or set plays. So you don't want to have your guys out there just thinking constantly and trying to remember what you're asking them to run. You more so want to build continuity and familiarity of just playing the game in a, you know, a healthy way together. You know, part of it's getting the right guys in that are going to, you know, help get him shots. TBT can be difficult sometimes because it can turn into one-on-one basketball a little bit too much, but the good teams in this seem to stay away from that and just know how to play the game. And that means we're not just going to run one ball screen and then ISO and take a, you know, contested jump shot. It's moving the basketball a little bit, some motion off the ball, multiple ball screens. And that's something I think, you know, when we get the right personnel, we'll help with that a little bit. I thought it was going to be better this year with Jeremiah, and I think it could have been going forward, but that Colorado team's good, especially defensively, really veteran, physical. You know, Andre Roberson's a former all defensive guy in the NBA. So just a tough matchup. I think in hindsight, we gladly would have flipped 1 and 2 seeds with KU if it meant we could have played the Colorado State team and then the Florida TNT team, but it's the way it goes.
Well, we appreciate the time you spend with us, your availability. I look forward to following your coaching career because you're on a path to do some really good things. Zach, best of luck. We'll visit with you soon.
Thank you, Bob. Always good to talk to you guys. I appreciate it.
Thanks.
All right, Zach Bush, the coach of the Aftershocks, the TBT. Again, we have the regional final tonight, KU's Mass Street team against the University of Colorado's Team Colorado.
Yeah, it should be an interesting game. I think KU will win, but...
Well, you said that. You said it won't be close, so...
I think they'll beat them by double digits.
Well, there you go. We'll keep track of it. Later.
Not later than the 80s.
Oh, sure.
I don't think so.
Starbucks came along. Mike Furtis joins us. Mike, what's your guess?
I have no idea.
Well, I said your guess. I'm not. We're not holding you to it. You're not penalized if you don't get it right.
Yeah, just make a guess.
I'm gonna say 96.
I think a little earlier than that. Let's go with 94.
All right, Jeff. What do we have?
First Starbucks in existence, 1971.
You're kidding.
I am not.
Why didn't I know about it?
Oh, probably because it was in Washington.
Seattle.
Wonder how many they had.
That's a good question. I'll have to figure out the franchising.
Mike Furtis joined.
I know the answer.
That's
to how
crazy.
Many they had. When they started,
one?
They had one.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That's a good Good deduction. So are you on your way to visit with family in the Smoky Mountains?
No, we don't leave till about probably 7:30, hopefully no later than 7:30. I like driving through the night.
Night? It's all good. Do what you want to do, but man, I hate driving at night.
I can't see well enough to drive at night.
Less traffic, and taking the back roads, I just feel like, you know, it's easier to speed a little bit, to be honest. You have to be a little bit careful, but they don't patrol the highways quite as bad. So, for whatever reason, over the years, I like traveling through the night. So,
well, it gives me time. More power to you.
Yeah. Gives me time to think and reflect and meditate and all that kind of good stuff.
Hey, Mike, I asked this with all respect and sincerity because yesterday I was talking to my grandfather, who's 89 years old, and he said, I meet his son, my uncle. They live out in Arizona. They meet every Tuesday for a Cracker Barrel breakfast, and I'm like, I'd love to get to a point where I can go to Cracker Barrel every Tuesday.
You want to meet me out there on Tuesdays?
I'd also love to get to a point where I can just leave and go to Tennessee. So what has to happen in a man's life to where he can not afford financially these luxuries, but afford in his life to be able to do these things?
Well, first thing I think you probably have to do is retire. I worked hard for a lot of years, and I was smart enough to put a little bit of money back, but then dumb enough to, I wouldn't say dumb enough. My late wife and I, we chose to do a lot of ministry things and give a lot. I mean, we gave a lot of money. And I'm not saying that, please do not, anyone listening, take this wrong. We gave tons and tons of, almost all of our income to do things for the homeless, the poor, the needy, children. We had adopted and raised through agencies like World Vision 11 children, you know, so that's a big deal. But people noticed that, and they blessed us. And they still, I don't ask for it, but, you know, I had a friend in Kansas City, he said, you guys have done so much. You know, here, I want you guys to go out and have some good time when you go to Tennessee. We had a friend that gave us a condo that we were able to go to Branson last week. I mean, gave us his week in a condo. There's an old saying in the black church and in the church in general. And it's just my belief, Jeff, God is good. And that's how I can do it on paper. It makes no sense. But,
works for me.
How long will you be in Tennessee?
I'll be in Tennessee for a week. And then I'm going to go visit my daughter and grandson and son-in-law in Ohio. It's the only time that Sheila gets off to work. My wife can do that, and so it's important. It's important to me because she doesn't have family outside of myself. So it's important for me to graft her into my family. So being with family, you can't do that unless you're with family. And I've never been around family. My son's here today doing some work, but my son's it. Everyone else is gone. They're not gone, but they live in Tennessee or Florida or Ohio or someplace like that. So.
Say the word "gone" again.
Gone.
Gone.
I love hearing your inflections.
Gone.
So let's get to a pop culture.
I appreciate it when we go have dinner or lunch when I get back.
Well, we need to do that. We're going. Some of us from the radio show are going Friday to the Pump House. So. I wish you were here to do that, but we'll catch up when you get back.
Yeah.
So let me ask you a pop culture question, not really a question, more of an observation. I read that Inside Out 2 has become the most successful animated movie in history. That's just that's amazing to me. Because animated movies have been so popular for so long. What is it about this one?
I would question those numbers because I think of things like The Lion King, and there's great classic animated movies, Snow White, Pinocchio, and we could go on and on. But there was not as many people to go see those movies at that time, and then the cost of those movies was much substantially less. But that said, In and Out, the first one was so good and so enjoyable that I've not seen the second one yet, but it's on my must watch list within the next week. I'm taking nephew to go see. Probably see Inside Out next week when they're in Tennessee. My family loved it when I come to visit because I take them to movies. So,
dang, Mike, you're going to be gone. We can't see a movie. I'm home. I should have hit you up earlier this week. I'm all alone in the house. The girls are out of town this week. We could have seen a movie. I didn't
think
of it.
It's the highest grossing animated movie of all time, surpassing Frozen 2.
Isn't that just crazy?
I don't know. That's bizarre to me.
Frozen 3 might surpass it.
And I'm surprised that Frozen 2 was number 2, you know? So, Jeff, I want to talk on Jeff's point. Guess what I went to see night before last? You probably saw it on Facebook.
I did not, but tell me.
It's the most fun movie I've seen all year, as far as fun goes. And I was shocked. I'm asking you because it's the follow-up to the movie you and I went to see, Bad Boys.
Remind me.
Bad Boys 2.
We did see that, and it was quite good. You enjoyed the fourth installment.
Well, it's the third now. Is it the third or the fourth?
It's really the fourth.
It's really fun. I think part of it was I was reluctant to expect anything out of it because Will Smith was in it. There's that Will Smith, you know, attitude now with movies. And I was.
But he's still a good actor.
Well, yeah, he's a good actor, and he's fun in this movie. But Martin Lawrence, people forget how funny Martin Lawrence is at times, and he's back to full form. I was pleasantly surprised. A really good story, was fun, entertaining from beginning to the end. On the flip side, I really liked Twisters, but so. I mean, I liked it. I liked it a lot, but I doubt that I would go see it again. But Bad Boys.
Well, what held you back from liking it enough to go see it again?
For one thing, it's not quite the first. The acting is good. It probably has a better story, but the special effects are not good. I think it's the special effects, Bob, that while they're good in this movie, they're not as surprising. You remember in that first movie, you see that cow flying across the truck. It's like, oh my gosh, there's nothing quite.
I think they wanted to make this one a little more realistic.
Yeah, and they did. I think they did. But, you know, Star Wars isn't realistic, but it's still a great movie. That's just my response to the people that want all the realism in a movie. So,
Mike Furch is with us. What about the movie Fly Me to the Moon, talking about the moon landing, which we're celebrating 55 years, the 55-year anniversary? This movie has gotten a lot of notoriety with Scarlett Johansson, Channing Tatum. What do you think?
I think with Scarlett Johansson, Channing Tatum, that's definitely a fun cast. It always does fun movies. I've not seen it yet, but I'm very, very familiar with it. It's on my must-watch list. And
is it out?
Yes, it's out.
Cool.
It's been out at least for a week or two, in fact. And but it looks very good. And the concept, you know, that's kind of my world. That I love, you know, things like Bigfoot, the supernatural, those kind of things. They're kind of hobby type things and not necessarily believable, but very interesting, very fun. It follows the possibility of was the moon landing, was the moonshot, was it real? And did the government actually have real ways set up to fake it? And of course, in that, there's a love story and things of that nature as well. But it looks really entertaining. So I don't know if it'll beat the classic Capricorn 1 or not, but it looks like it has a chance of doing that.
Mike Furch is with us. I did want to ask you about the death last week of Bob Newhart. It's precipitated my wife and I going back to watch his series Newhart, the one located at the inn in Vermont. Because he had the Bob Newhart show when he was a dentist, I believe. This one is an inn owner. And we've started watching season one. And where does Bob Newhart rank with you amongst comedians and then comedic actors?
Well, I mean, Jeff, I don't know if Jeff ever watched anything like Bob Newhart. Our generation, Bob, we know that we watch Newhart all the time. I mean,
I watched Newhart a bunch. I watched a lot of adult shows when I was a kid. Not like adult shows, but shows that, you know, family shows, I guess. I wasn't a stranger to television in my early years.
Okay. Well, that's good to hear. In regards to Bob's question, Bob, as a comedic actor for television, he's top 3 to 5. I mean, you got Carol O'Connor that's up there, but Bob Newhart, he's way up there. not just in his everything he did was good, but just as a human being, if you look at his life, he's someone that myself, I think probably more than likely you, we can look at and we can respect and appreciate his contribution, not just to the screen, but to life in general, because he genuinely seems like he was a really good, decent guy. And it seems like that's what everybody says about him. So we've had a,
and,
you know, July
and he, and he understood the sharing the wealth. He wasn't selfish with his, because he created, you know, his shows created a lot of stars, and he gave those people a lot of room to breathe and develop their own characters. I love the guy.
In regards to television, he may be the best. In regards to music, I think it was Harry Chapin. But those two are very comparable. And if you look at the life of Harry Chapin, who did the classic song that he did, I can't remember the name of it.
Cats in the Cradle.
Cats right? in the Cradle and Silver Spoon. Yeah. If you look at the contributions those people, those two made to society and to their craft, I can't think of anyone that has done what Bob Newhart's done. Keanu Reeves, John
Wick. What made you go to Harry Chapin from Bob Newhart? I'm just curious how your brain works.
I'm thinking of Bob Newhart as not just an actor, but as one who contributed back to his world, who genuinely cared for people.
Gotcha.
And you touched on that. And Harry Chapin was a they're very unique in the amount of their lives that they gave back. It was a tremendous amount. It wasn't just, you know, you hear Taylor Swift give someone $25,000. My thought process is whoop-de-doo. It's like me giving somebody $5 or less, you know, maybe a dollar. But Chapin and Newhart, those two, it was substantially more than that. They gave more than money. They gave of their own lives and service. So you'll never hear me say anything negative about Bob Newhart. I can't imagine thinking that. So,
all right, Mike. Good luck on. Good luck in your travels beginning tonight. You're going to drive through the night to the state of Tennessee to visit family. Hopefully we can get you on next week as well. Summer's winding down. We look forward to our visits. Thank you, Mike.
Appreciate it. Bye.
Mike Furches with us, as he is most Wednesdays. Let's see. We got next Wednesday, we don't have a show.
That's correct.
Let's get him on a different day. Oh, my goodness. The day after the trade deadline, people are going to be robbed from hearing my thoughts?
I guess so.
Well, that's just terrible.
Well, it'll be while we're on the air. Isn't that when the deadline is?
Well, that'll be terrible.
The day before.
Maybe we can give some thoughts then. I think 4 o'clock's the end of it, though. There'll be things happening.
There will be a lot of things happening, and we'll be... 5 o'clock Central.
Well, that's terrible.
Is the
people are
going
to want to hear what I have to say about it?
Well, we'll get some in real time. We'll get some.
But do you understand what I'm saying?
That have happened? Not really. Yeah, we'll be able to talk as much trade deadline as we can.
I don't know about. Maybe they'll want to hear what you have to say. But
I don't know why they wouldn't.
But I just feel like they'll want to hear what I have to say about it.
I'll bring it to you honestly. You'll be, what a great move by the Royals to...
Well, who got Tommy Pham yesterday? And wasn't that something when Rustin Dodd came on?
Well, that's been out there. I've heard Tommy Pham mention that's a realistic target. There's no... Put yourself out there. Why don't you make a bold...
I did. Brent Rooker.
Bold prediction.
Brent Rooker to the Royals.
For who?
They'll figure it out.
All right. The A's are pretty dumb when it comes to trades, so... They might be able to put something together.
Maybe MJ Melendez and somebody else in a package.
MJ Melendez would be potentially a guy that you could start that with.
Right. Thank you.
Potentially.
See, you try to act like I don't know anything, and,
but
and
I
then
don't know.
The real world slaps you in the face.
I don't know if it's the real world. Were you trying to quote me from our promo?
No. Did you say slaps you in the face?
Something about the real world. It might be slapsy in the face, something like that.
I never heard it until
I just
said.
We play that promo all the time.
No, the real world. I'm talking about the real world.
I think slaps you in the face is what the promo says. Maybe Max will find it.
When we come back, we'll have hour number 2, which will include a visit with Jim Callis, MLBpipeline.com, We look forward to talking to him about the Major League Baseball draft, prospects, where teams line up, what might happen at the trade deadline with some of these prospects. We'll spend a good amount of time with Jim Callis. Stay with us.